Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Shamanic Wealth Call for the Three Moons of Fall. And now we're moving into tonight's guided visualization, tonight's journey. And the obvious journey is to fly south. To fly south and watch the three full moons rise and set over our heads as we fly to our winter nest, as we fly to that place that will catch us at the end of December or the beginning of January, when we finally spent our last piece of energy. And the earth is resting, and we are resting too. So we begin where we always begin, with the image of the rose. How does your rose appear to you this evening? Is it bright and fresh, or perhaps a little worn and tattered? If it's worn and tattered, we will be replacing it with a bright, fresh, perfect, new one soon. But first, we always check in. We never assume. We never just charge ahead. You always want to ask about your protections, ask about your energy tools before you go blindly using them. The other thing we check in with is if you're driving or operating heavy machinery, you can go through this visualization yet remain wide awake and attentive to the tasks at hand. No chopping off of fingers or driving into pylons. You can journey and drive when you're careful, when you're aware. The key aspect of shamanism is being able to journey. Some people talk about walking journeying, so journeying when you're hiking, journeying when you're driving, but it's a different style. You become more aware, not less aware. If you have the luxury of lying back and relaxing, you'll be able to close your eyes and follow along with the journey, preferably remaining attentive and awake. But should you fall asleep, that's okay too. It's not uncommon to just wake up from a journey, and your ego won't know what has happened, but you will have received something of power and beauty. So we begin where we always begin, with the image of the rose. How does your rose appear to you this evening? Is it bright and fresh, or perhaps a little worn and tattered? If it's worn and tattered, we will be replacing it with a bright, fresh, perfect, new one by the time we are done. But for now, we check in and simply ask, what color is your rose tonight? Is it a rosebud, or is it in full bloom? Notice that it is a single rose floating gently in front of you, and that it is not attached. It is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. It has either been cut or placed in a pot or a vase, floating quietly in front of you. Reach out and touch the silky petals. Smell the beautiful fragrance. Be careful of the thorns on the stem and the sharp, serrated leaves. And set the image of the rose aside, and we now turn our attention to the grounding cord. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor, into the soil, through the soil, into the rocks, through the rocks, into the bedrock, all the way to the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. The grounding cord attaches at the base of the spine, the bowl of the pelvis, and extends through the floor, into the soil, into the rocks, into the bedrock, all the way to the center of the earth, the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. The grounding cord acts first as a grounding cord. Should you find yourself coming unstuck, should you find yourself foggy and confused, you can remember the grounding cord and in a heartbeat reset it. And you will find yourself becoming grounded and centered. The grounding cord also acts as an umbilical cord, connecting your belly to the belly of Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. And like an umbilical cord, you can both draw up bright, fresh, new energy from the earth, and you can expel out old, stale, and stagnant energy. down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And you can exchange these two energies exactly at the same time, drawing up the new energy and releasing the old, stale energy. Call your true name down the grounding cord and introduce yourself to Pachamama. Introduce yourself with a name, the sound that resonates with you most strongly tonight. It may be your regular name, a nickname, your full name, or a spirit name, a name you have used before, or something new and fresh and different. Call your true name and introduce yourself to Pachamama. Introduce yourself to Mother Earth and express your unreserved gratitude for all that you have received and all that you will receive. Every breath of air you've ever taken, every glass of water you've ever drunk, every meal you've ever eaten has been a gift from Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Call your true name and express your unreserved gratitude. And having expressed your gratitude, you can then begin to release more and more of the dark, stale hucha, the old heavy energies, the old beliefs and ideas that no longer serve you. Your ego is quite good at recognizing what no longer serves you. And we simply let it slip away, fall away, drain away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it's composted and refreshed and renewed. So we allow more and more of that which no longer serves us to simply fall away, slip away, drain away. Sometimes we will know what these things are. Other times we do not. All we need to know is that intuitively we're done with them. They don't serve us. We may have a longing for them. We may have a desire to hold on to them. Our greatest gifts and powers are frequently our greatest crutches, and vice versa. Our greatest wounds can become our greatest powers. But we hold on to those old patterns long after they serve us. This is an opportunity, this is a process where you can release it and let it go. And you don't need to know why. And because this is an energy exercise, once it's outside of your energy field, once it's down the grounding cord, most of it can never come back. Occasionally you can go pull it back if you want it or need it. But this is an opportunity to let it go. Just as the harvest is the opportunity to choose what you want to keep and what you want to release. When you harvest a field of corn, you leave all the stalks behind. You shuck the coverings. You throw away the corn cob. Most of what was there was required to create the fruit, the berries, the grain. But by the time that grain is perfected into food, all of that stem and leaves is no longer needed, no longer necessary. This process of releasing the hucha is that process of plowing under the chaff, plowing under the stems and the leaves, composting and mulching, all of that absolutely critically important material that got you here. You would have no fruit without the stems. You would have no fruit without the leaves. But the leaves fall off in the winter. The stalks are plowed under. Harvest is a time of learning to distinguish between what has value to feed you in the winter, what has value to be the seeds of your becoming in the spring. So the three moons of fall are about learning to discern and to choose and to let go and to carefully store for the future that which has power and energy and is nourishing. So as we begin to consider that process, and as the harvest moon comes to an end, moving into the new moon cycle in a few days, in the new moon, the energies are still and quiet, and so we have that opportunity. It is an ideal time for letting go, because the energies are deep within you, deep within everything else. It's relatively easy to disconnect and release and move on and not have it come back. New moon offers us that opportunity. And in particular, the new moon of harvest is a time when it's all about learning to recognize what no longer deserves your energies. We still have another moon or two of high activity. As I said, Duck's Fly Moon, you're flying to the south. You're expending a lot of activity to stay high, to stay on target, to stay on task, to continue moving to where you need to go to be safe and fulfilled and quiet for the winter. So there's quite a lot of activity ahead, but it's a different kind of activity. It's cruising at high altitude. It's choosing where you want to stop for a brief rest on a lake somewhere. So imagine, as your body remains anchored with the grounding cord and you are protected by the bands of power and your pokpo, and we enclose your space with the beams of light, we set a grounding cord for the room around you. We have set all these protections. In most visualizations, we go through a good deal of detail on how to do that. Just know that they're there for you tonight. And allow your mind to take wing. Allow your thoughts to move into the center of your forehead and then to flap your wings and become a snow goose flying high in the sky. And as the harvest moon wanes, and the Duck's Fly Moon becomes full, you can see yourself flying over the fields below. You're high above the fields, flying over, say, Nebraska. And there's all kinds of corn and wheat. All of this resultant of a year's worth of activity and planning and rain and wind and plowing and hoeing. Enormous amounts of planning and activity went into creating those fields below you as you're flying to the south. And you can see the fruits and the grains ripening in the fields. But you continue to fly above. And as you continue flying south, you see that more and more of the fields have already been harvested, and they're now laid bare. And as the Duck's Fly Moon goes from full to new, you continue to fly south. And up north of you, things are beginning to freeze. As a goose back in Canada, back in Chicago where you came from, the snows are beginning to fall, the lakes are beginning to freeze, and you're now down over, say, Texas or so. And all the fields have been plowed under, and there's bare dirt below you. The freeze-up moon is a time for you to realize there's precious little food left on the ground. You're going to have to fly the last stretch on your own internal energy. But you know that wherever you're going to end up, you've made your choices. And as you fly over those barren fields below, you give yourself permission to be done. To simply choose your wintering ground and to come to a landing, knowing that you'll be there soon. And then as you begin to fly over the deserts of Mexico, or maybe the Gulf of Mexico itself, hummingbirds fly from North Carolina across the barren water, never stopping, never eating, never pausing. Flapping their wings millions of times to get from their starting point to their ending point, with nothing to hold them up but the wind and their preparations in the early fall. Finally, the freeze-up moon fades to a new moon and becomes the long snows moon. And here you can see that solstice fire calling to you, that light in the darkness, the longest night of the year when you don't know for sure that the sun is going to rise again. During solstice, the sun stands still. It is in the southernmost point in the sky for 3 days. And if you lived in the olden times, it was easy to believe that it might never start moving north again. And so you hold your breath and you build a fire during the longest night of the year and you pray that warmth will return. That is where you build your winter nest, is in that heart, in that fire, in that place of warmth and community. We will be huddled around that fire all night long, spelling each other so that you can go in and take a nap or get a hot chocolate or go to the bathroom. And then you come back out and you spell the person next to you. But the fire is never left alone all night long, and neither are you. And that is the destination for your wintering. And having performed our ceremony, lo and behold, the sun rises, and the nights start getting shorter, and the days start getting longer as December comes to an end. And we move into Earth renewal mode, where the energies are deep within the Earth, and that is the time when finally, at long last, we ourselves get at least a few days of quiet. Maybe it's a few days before New Year, maybe it's a few days after. But sometime during that last week of December, first week of January, we all need to find a quiet space where we can be cold and meditative and calm and thoughtful. Because the Earth is doing that. And if we choose to do it when the earth is doing it, the power of that still point, the power of that quiet is awesome, awe-inspiring. So from that place of the distant future, say the first week of January, seeing your winter nest built, your eggs laid, and knowing that the goose will be there warming the eggs over the rest of the winter and into the spring, you yourself take your spirit wings and return to the sky and begin flying north again, flying back to the present, back to the fall, late September. It's not quite so cold and the days aren't so short. Back to the Pacific Northwest, if you're up here, back to wherever you are. Back to your home, back to your chair. Allow yourself to settle back into your room, flapping your wings for the last few times. Settling back into your own body, putting your hands back in your hands, your feet in your feet. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Don't open your eyes just yet. But allow yourself to settle in. Allow yourself to remember this journey. Allow yourself to know that while the flight to the south, the harvest is a long road to hoe, you will not be alone. And there's a warm winter's nest waiting for you when you get there. And a successful harvest behind you, with powerful seeds stored up for the coming spring. These are all the things you will gain by continuing this work through the three moons of fall, both in practical, consensual reality and in spirit reality. It's a beautiful and powerful path. A beautiful and powerful opportunity. We return to the image of the rose. How does your rose appear to you tonight? Is it now bright and fresh, or perhaps even still a bit worn and tattered? If it's worn and tattered, then we will express our deep gratitude for all the protection it has afforded and allow the rose to simply fall away, slip away, drain away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, where it, like all of the other tired and stale energies, are being composted and refreshed and renewed by Pachamama, Santa Tierra, Mother Earth. Allow it to all fall away, slip away, drain away, down the grounding cord, down to Pachamama, down to Mother Earth, where it is composted and refreshed and renewed. And as that process continues, imagine that in front of you, about arms length out in front of you, you can see a beautiful new rose floating there perfectly. And you notice that it is not attached. It has either been cut or placed in a pot or a vase and is floating gently in front of you, quietly, beautifully. And in your mind's eye, you reach out with your hands and you place your hands around the rose. And as you gently hold the rose, you build the Qi ball. The Qi ball from the Qigong exercises that we do. You hold the Qi ball around the rose, and as you do, the Qi rises up through the earth, up through the stem of the rose, bringing the Qi energy up into the rose so that it glows brightly with all the energy of the earth. The thorns and the leaves sparkle with life and brilliance. And the petals are shiny and vibrant, silky smooth. Is your rose a rosebud, or is it in full bloom? Touch the silky petals. Smell the beautiful fragrance. Continue to hold your hands just on the edge of the rose, and now allow the Reiki energy to come gently out of your hands. And allow a gentle Reiki mist to form on the rose, just enough to give it that diamond-studded appearance. Not so much that it's overwhelmed with Reiki goo. What we want is Reiki do. Just a mist, a gentle offering. Enough to attract those who mean us well, but not so much that we're attracting others by showing off our energy. And allow the rose to float there gently in front of you. And now you have this beautiful rose that has been filled full with Qi and sprinkled with Reiki Dew. And it is a beautiful and a powerful gift. And so that whenever anyone comes in contact with you by thinking of you or when they meet you in the store or your office or wherever someone comes across you, the first thing their energy field will see is your gift rose. And they will see it as this beautiful gift. It's this beautiful rose, this beautiful gift of energy and love. But should they be a bit poorly trained or perhaps greedy, and they try and take from you something you do not wish to give, all they will get is a handful of thorns, and the rose comes away easily. And you replace it with a bright, fresh, perfect new one. Because the rose is not attached to you. It is not attached to the earth. It is floating gently in front of you. And there is an infinite amount of heaven and earth energy that you are allowed to borrow when you learn to perform these ceremonies. So that you can keep these strong protections in place, but not drain your personal energy. You can keep these strong energies flowing, but not sap your Jing Qi, that finite reservoir of energy that will fuel your life. So now, gently and in your own time, return to your body fully. Open your eyes and return to the room. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Become wide awake, wide, wide, wide awake, so that you are fully alert. Able to go on with the evening. When the bedtime comes, you'll be able to sleep fully and deeply, and these images will return to you in dream time. If you have the three stones that you're working with, keep them with you this evening. Allow them to fly south with you again in the dream time. If you have the stones from the gathering, allow the Amaru stone to energize your belly, Jokchin Chai stone to energize your heart, your Apuchin stone to energize your third eye. So now gently, and with that, I say good night. Thank you, and good evening.